Okay, we're beginning here with the Mishnah on the top of Yutet Amud Aleph. Chamisha damim tmeim bisha. There are five colors of blood that are problematic in the sightings of a woman. They are considered to be menstrual blood. Hadom, red, which seems obvious that red blood would be menstrual dam. Veshachor, black, which we'll see later on in the Mishnah is a derivative of the red blood. Ukekeren karkom. And like, here Rashi brings two interpretations of the word keren. Either keren means the corner of, so then it would be the corner of a garden that contains karkom. Or Rashi brings the other possibility, which is keren from the word kikaran or panav, that his face shone, and therefore would be something that is bright karkom. So then it would be bright crocus flowers, or again, a corner of a garden of crocus flowers. Here it seems that they translate karkom as crocus. In other places we do see that it's translated as saffron. Uchameme adama, and like water that is mixed together with a certain earth, which we'll see later, that is reddish in nature. Uchemazug, and like diluted wine. So all of these are shades of red, and those shades of red all are classified as being dam nida. Bechamay omrim, af kimeme tiltan. Also like the waters of fenugreek. Uchememe basar tzli. And the water or juices that leach out of meat that is roasted, those are also of the color that would be considered to be dam nida. They all have this reddish tint to them, a reddish side to them. Beit Hillel mitaharim. Beit Hillel disagree with Beit Shammai and say in those two instances, it's not a reddish color, it's considered dam nida. Hayarok, as Tosafot explains on the next Amud, yarok generally in Shas does not mean green, rather yarok means yellow. Stam, default word yarok is yellow. But yarok is not just a reference to green, but to the primary colors that actually are the composition of green, which is blue and yellow. And therefore, yellow is really the color that is referenced to by yarok. The Tosfot Rosh says, Mikan mashma, the stam yarok utseva dome lechelmon shel beitza, like the yolk of an egg, or le zahav, or like gold, shenotele mare admumit, that has a tint in it of redness to it, but it's definitely a yellow and not a green. Like it says in Sukkah, yarok kekarti, that it is green, kekarti, like a leek, which is a bluish, greenish color, maybe even like a turquoise, which is close in nature to the color of techelet. That means that regular yarok, without a modifier of kekarti, is not considered to be green. And therefore he says the yarok here is like yellow like an etrog, below yarok kikarti, and not like that of leek. Or the Mishnah in the beginning of Brachot speaks about the difference between tchelet and karti. And so the yarok, this yellowish blood, Kavya ben Mehalel mitameh, he thinks that it is dam nida, and therefore he's mitameh. Chachamim mitaharim, they think it is tahor. Amar Rabbi Meir, imenu mitameh mishum ketem, if it's not mitameh because of a stain, or in essence, as the Gemara is going to say, it's not mitameh for nida, at least mitameh mishum mashke, it still should have the ability to be considered or classified as a mashke, and the Gemara will discuss what that mashke means. Does mashke mean something that is exuded by the nida, or mashke means something that could be machshir, the kabel tumah, prime something to be mikabel tumah? Now, it could be that Rabbi Meir expresses the nida aspect here as a ketem because of the fact that he believes, as we've seen before, that ketamim are more chamor than a sighting itself. Or it could be simply that he's speaking about a ketem because that's speaking about dry blood versus blood that is moist. Rabbi Yossi Omer, lokach velokach. It is neither. That means neither is it tamei nida, nor is it tamei mishum mashke, whatever that means in the terms of Rabbi Meir. Again, we'll get to that in the Gemara. Ezehu adom, what is considered to be red? Kedam hamaka. It is like blood that comes from an injury, from a wound. That is what the reddish blood that we're speaking about here. Shachor, when speaking about black blood, is kecheret. It's like the sediment of ink, which is very black, or like the polish or black dye that is used by the cobblers. Amok mikain, if it is a deeper, richer color than that, then it is tameh. Deha, if it is lighter or really duller of a color mikain, tahor, then it is tahor. Ukekeren karkom, we're speaking about, again, either the corner or the bright crocus, kibarur shibo, the brightest, the most vibrant colors that are found in the crocus flower. And again, the Gemara will describe which leaf and which flower we're speaking about. Uchememei adama, and like waters that are mixed together with mud, mibigat beit kerem, the mud or the earth that comes from this place called Bigat Ben Kerem, which we also saw in Masechet Midot. Seems like it might have been found in the Galil. Umeitzef Mayim. And you float water on top of it. You fill the earth or the mud with water on top of it. And then you mix it. And when it's mixed, that color that it gives you in the mix is the color of red that we're looking for that's considered to be Damnida. Ukemazug. And diluted wine also has that color. Shnei chalakim mayim v'chad yayin. When it has two parts water to one part wine, that is considered to be red, that is damnida. Min hayayin hasharuni, from wine that comes from the Sharon, which is on the coast of Eretz Yisrael. It is also mentioned in the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, when he exits the Kodesh HaKodeshim. He says there that for the people of the Sharon, lo yu batehem kivrehem, that their houses should not be their burial place. There he's referring to the Sharon. So here too, it's the location from which the wine is coming. That type of wine, when mixed with two parts water, one part wine, gives you that reddish color that we would consider or classify as dam nida. The Gemara asks the very basic question, which is, minolon diga dam tohor b'yisha. You're making an assumption here that there's a possibility that dam that exits the woman is not considered to be menstrual dam. Since when or how do you know that the dam that exits the woman isn't always menstrual dam, no matter what the color is? Because otherwise, why would there be anything exiting or being exuded by the woman? Dilma, kol dam dati minat tameh. Maybe any dam that exits her is classified as being tameh. And therefore, we would consider everything menstrual dam and bitamei. So, Amar Rabbi Chamar Bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Oshaya, Amar Kra. The pasuk says, Ki ipalei mimcha davar demishpat. When something is greater than you, or something needs to be adjudicated in a difference of opinion, ben dam le dam, between different types of dam, ben dam taor, the dam tamei. And the Gemara adds the interpretation, when we say ben le dam, it means between dam that is taor, and dam that it is tamei. Elimiato, if that's the case, then what about the continuation of the pasuk? Benega lenega, between different types of negaim, hachanami benega tamei lenega tahor, you're gonna say there also that benega lenega means between a nega tamei and a nega tahor, mechitema hachanami, if you say, yeah, you're right, that is what it's saying, nega tahor miika, where do you have a nega that is tahor? That is because something that is a nega has certain qualifications in order to be a nega, certain coloring that required in order to be a nega. But if it meets those standards, it is a nega. If it doesn't meet those color standards, it's not called a nega. So there are negaim that are tohorim, but they're not a nega. So there's no nega tohor and nega tameh. There's nega is always tameh, and there's something else which is not a nega. So then what does it mean between nega tameh and nega tohor? What about the case of kulo afach lavan tohor hu, when the entirety of the individual gets covered in the nega, then we say they are tohor. When it spreads parach bikulo, then he is tohor. That is a nega that is tohor. Ra kohen minei kistat zarat kol b'saro v'tiharet anaga kulo afach lavan tohor hu, a nega that is then spread over the entirety of the body. When it says, Ho Boak Mikre, that's not called a nega. That is a particular name that the Torah gives to it, which is that it is a boak, which is a terminology that's used by the Pasuk, which says, Ra'koem in Bor Bisaram Beharot Kehot Libanot, Boak Hu Parach Boor Tahor Hu. So Boak is a nega that is Tahor. So to over here, when it spreads over the entire body, it's no longer called a nega, it's called a boak. And so even though it is a nega, quote-unquote, tahor, Nevertheless, once it's spread over the entirety of the body of the individual, it takes on a different name to it, which is that it's a bohak. And that bohak then is not differentiating between a negatameh and negatahor because it already has a different name. Ella, it must be that ben nega the nega means ben negei adam, the negei batim, or the negei begadim. Differentiate between the negeim that come to a person, negeim that are batim, and negeim begadim. Bikulan temeim. And they all are tamei. There's nothing that is tahor. Hachanami, if that's the way you read the pasuk of ben nega the nega, then you should read this pasuk that way by dam the dam. Ben dam nida, the dam ziva. That it's distinguishing between dam that is of a nida versus dam of a zava didola. Bikulan temeim. And they're all tamei. But if that's the case, then there is no such thing as dam tahor again. Hai mai. Why do you have to say that? Bishlam ahotom ikele fluge binige adam. Over there, you can differentiate within nigaim themselves. We have machlokot as to what is considered to be tameh and what is considered to be tahor. Now, the case or the pasuk that we're bringing over here is the case of a zakein mamre. It's an individual who is disagreeing with the Beit Din, and he continues to disagree with them with regards to the psak, even after they came to the Beit Din HaGadol, even though they reached the Supreme Court and the court ruled against him. He's still fighting and saying that he thinks the halacha is otherwise. So their machloket could be about the following, which is by nigei adam uplukta de Rabbi Yeshua v'Rabbanan. They could be arguing about what the halacha is with regards to this case, which is it's not im baheret kodem se'ar lavan. If the nega comes before the hair that is white, tamei. So a nega that has hair in it, and then the hair turns white or grows white hair in it after there's already a nega, then it is tamei. Im se'ar lavan kodem lebaheret, if the se'ar lavan came before the baheret was there, tahor. Then we considered it tahor because the siman tuma only has application if it came after it was a baheret, not before it was a baheret. Safek, if we don't know which came first. We discover he has a baheret and he has white hair. We have no idea which preceded which. Tamei, the chachamim say, safek with regards to tuma tahara. We're going to say that it's a dindo, right? That's a fake tamei. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, keha. And Rabbi Yeshua says, keha. Be'amar Rabbo. And Rabbo says, keha v'tahor. That it is keha and tahor. So he's arguing. So here you have a machloket. When you have such a safek, which way are we noted? Are we noted to say that it is tamei? We're noted to say that it is tahor. And you could have a machloket between the Beit Din and this individual, the Zakin Mamre, who says otherwise. And their machloket could be within the world of Nigei Adam, and yet they could still have a machloket as to whether it's Tamei or Tahor. As far as the word Keha, Rashi over here brings two possibilities as to the meaning of the word. The first of which is She Keha Marito, that its color has faded. And we have something similar in the Sukkim with regards to the Nigaim. If it became lighter, meaning that the color was less white, but in this case, less white means darker or duller white, not as a bright white, then in those cases, it will be tahor. So that could be the possibility. When he's saying keha, he's saying that it's duller, it's not the color of white, and therefore, it's considered to be a siman tahara. Like the Torah says, v'nei keha hanega, in a number of places, or he keha, the Torah says numerous times by negaim, that it's lost its whiteness. Ubishem Rabbi Moshe Darshan, Shemati Kiha with a kuf. Klomar Kiha v'davar v'nechlak alav. That he is fighting the issue and he has a machloket on it. So that's with a kuf instead of a kaf. Kiha would mean that he is arguing or disagreeing rather than saying it's lighter. It seems from Rashi the word is kiha, which may be similar to the word that's used by hikha etsheinav. By the Rasha in the Seder, there it says to knock out or to blunt his teeth. So maybe that's the same thing over here, is to fight, argue, or blunt the argument of the other party. That might be what the Keha is. Balei Tosafot bring another alternative, which they bring from the Rabbeinu Chananel, has a girsa of Rabbi Yeshua Keha with a kuf, perush, amad leminyan. That means that they did a census, or they came to a vote. Dikiha lashon asifa means that they gathered together. And so it means that they gathered together and they came to the conclusion that it should be Tahor. That's the meaning of the language over here. We're trying to figure out what Rabbi Yeshua said. Rabbi Yeshua just said Keha, or Keha with a kuf, or Keha with a kuf, and then we have to interpret what it means. So Rabbah interprets it to mean that it is Tahor. Where does he get that from? Now, if it's spelled with a kuf, and you say it's Keha in the Pasuk, in general, when the Pasuk says Keha, it means that it's lighter, the nega is not as whitish as it needs to be, and therefore it's Tahor. So then it would make sense that he's leaning towards the Tahor side. On the other hand, the Baal Tosafot say, how does he know that it is Tahor? Because the Gemara Nazir says, V'dilma Keha V'timei. How do you know that Keha means to be Tahor? Maybe Keha means Tamei. And then why would you have Rabba over here saying definitively that it means Tahor when in other places, the Gemara entertains the possibility that Keha means Tameh. And that's why he favors the alternate Girsa that it's spelled with a Kuf. Because in that case, it means that he's either gathering the parties together, he's having a machloket, he's disagreeing, he's blunting their argument. Any one of those, which means that he is definitely disagreeing with the other position. And the Chachamim think it's Tameh. He thinks it is Tahor. Then the Baal Tosafot asks a second issue, which is, what's the reason behind the Chachamim that they're mitameh misveiko? Yes, you have a safek over here, but you have the chezka tara of the individual. And by the chezka tara of the individual, why would you then lean in a safek to making them tamei? So Tosafot in the end says, "Beyesh lamar the derech ha-sear lihitlabein machmata nega." The natural course is that hair turns white because of the nega. In all likelihood, the hair would be black. Elim Cain, there was a nega there that made it white. So that means that there is a larger possibility or a higher probability that the white hair came after the nega versus before the nega. Given that, then the chazaka that you have is not as strong, because over here you have a safek that leans heavily towards the side that the white hair came afterwards. That's why the chachamim say, even in face of the chezkat tara, we still say the safek says you're tamei, because in probabilities, the side of the safek that makes you tamei is a much higher probability than the side that makes you tahor. But then, of course, if you do well by the Rabbanon and explain their position better, then you have to explain why Rabbi Yeshua is in the opposite direction. Now Rabbi Yeshua, why does he say tahor if now we say that the chazaka is somewhat diminished by the fact that it's more natural for a nega to turn the hairs white? So he says, Rabbi Yeshua brings a drasha from the pasuk, and therefore, he has something else backing up his position that it should be Tahor, even in the face of this Riuta, even in the face of this diminished Chazaka, because of the fact that it's more likely that the Sear of Lavan came out of a Nega. Right, so now, the Gemara continues and says, also by Nigei Batim, Ki HaPlukta, by Nigei Batim, you could have a argument about the following issue. The Rabbi Lozab, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbonon. The time, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon Omar, Lomam, Ha'ena Bait Tamei. The house is not Tamei, Achire Kishne Grisim, Ashne Avanim. Until you have two legumes worth on two stones, Vishne Kotalim, on two walls, Vikaren Zavit, on a corner, Arko Kishne Grisim. Its length is like two gris, Rachbo Kigris, and its width is that of a gris. So, we know that it says that Bechaltsu Ha'avanim, which means that it's on two stones. You need a shi'ur on two stones. The additional requirement that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon has is that it has to be on a corner. That the stones have to be in a place where there's a corner and it covers those two corners. And then the shape of the gris, each one is a gris ka gris, meaning that it's a long-wise and width-wise it's a gris. But when you put them together, then length-wise it's two gris because it extends over the two stones. And width-wise it's going to be a gris. But he says that it has to be in a keren zavit. My diamond, Rabbi Lozib, Rabbi Shimon. What's the reasoning behind his position? The Uktiv Kir, Uktiv Kirot. It says that he found the nega on the Kir, on the wall of the house. But then it also says Kirot on the walls of the house. When it started out, the nega, it says, Rata nega, binan nega bi Kirot abayit, shkaru rot yirak rakot, odam damot, maren shafal minakir. So in the pasuk it says, hine nega bi Kirot abayit. And then when it's talking about its appearance, it says, Maren Shafal Minakir. So he resolves that stira of Kir and Kirot by saying, Ezu Kir Kushne Kirot. How do I reconcile between the singular and the plural? I find a wall that has the classification like two walls. That's in the corner. In the corner, when you have two stones, they are one kier because they're one area, but they are kirot. They actually extend over two walls. So then the chachamim disagree and think that it does not have to be in a keren zavit. Once again there, you can have a machloket. That is the issue between the zakein mamre and the beit din, as which position we favor. Is it that it has to be in the corner like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, or it doesn't have to be like the Rabbanon? They could be arguing about that. They could be arguing about this machloket. The Tanya, Rabbi Yonatan ben Abtulamus, Omer, minad prichat begadim shi Torah. How do we know that when a nega spreads over the entire beged that it's Torah? Nemar karachat begabachat begadim. At the end of the parsha of the Tzarat HaBegadim, it mentions karachat begabachat, which seemingly is out of place, because what does it have to do with nigei begadim? Karachat and begabachat was used earlier by nigei adam to describe nigaim on the head, the forehead, the back of the head of the individual. So then, why would it be mentioned by nigei begadim? It says, rakwein achei chukabes et a nega. What does a beged have to do with the anatomy of an individual? So here, the Targum translates karachto and gabachto as being beged yashan and beged chadash. So he gives a different meaning to it. But what Rabbi Yonatan ben Abtulamus points out is the usage of karachat and gabachat over there seems to connect you to the nige adam, which is v'chiye bekarachat o begabachat neged lavan adam dam tzarat porachati bekarachto o begabachto, seems to connect back to this kereach and the gibeach that are mentioned by the nige adam, and so now there's some sort of parallel between them. That parallel creates a gzeirah shava malahalan parach bekulot aor, just like by nige adam. If it spreads out of the entirety of the individual, you are tohor. Afka nami parach bikulo tohor. So tovir, it spreads over the entirety of the beged, it'll be tohor. So then, that will be the machloket between zakein mamre and the beit din is in this issue. Is the lacha like Rabbi Yonatan ben Abtulamus, or is it like the chachamim? So in each of the nigaim, you can find nigaim that are tmeim, and then you have nigaim about which there is a machloket as to whether they are tmei or tohor. That could be the issue that is being discussed or argued about between Zakein Mamre and the Beit Din. Elahacha, idam tohor, leka, b'mai plige. If we're not speaking about dam tamei versus dam tohor, then exactly what is the machloket that they are arguing about, where someone says the dam is tohor, where someone says the dam is tamei? We don't have that type of differentiation. And even though, as the Tosfot Arosh points out, that we do have manifestations of that by Dam Leida, by Dam Ziva, we don't have it by Dam Nida. And just like by Nigaim, we only said Benega the Nega applies when we can find it in all three categories of Nigaim. Nigei Adam, Nigei Begadim, Nigei Batim. So too by Dam, we will only say it's talking about Dam Tamei versus Dam Tamei, an argument in that, if we can find it by Dam Leida, Dam Ziva, and Dam Nida. The fact that we can't find it by Dam Nida, then that excludes the possibility of being the explanation for Ben Dam Ladam. And that's why we are defaulting now to say that Ben Dam Ladam must be Ben Dam Tameh Ladam Tohor. Afarnim do ask that there are situations or machlokot that we find in Nida with regards to whether the Nida is considered to be Tmeah or Tohorah. And why can't we bring those as the distinction in Ben Dam Ladam? But the Gemara clearly believed that that wasn't the case. And many of those instances where there is an argument about it are more extreme or unusual cases. Maybe they were looking for a more mainstream type of case whereby you would have Ben Dam Ladam as an issue. So now, so you prove to me there is Dam Tameh and there is Dam Tohor, because that says Ben Dam Ladam. Now, the Gemara wants to know, now that we've established that there is Dam Tohor and Dam Tameh, then how do I know which is considered to be Dam Tohor and which is considered to be Dam Tameh? So, the Gemara says, Umimai dahani teorim vahani tmeim. How do you know that those are tohor and those are tameh? Meaning, how do you know which damim are tmeim? in which Tamim are Torim. How do you know that the ones in our Mishnah are considered to be Tameh, and the ones that are not in the Mishnah, or the ones that they're arguing about here, are considered to be Tahor? Amar Rabbi Abahu, Amar Kra. Because the Pasuk says, in Melachim Bet, Veiru Mo'av et Amayim Adumim Kadam, that the Moabites saw the water was reddish, like that of blood. The Memra, the Dam Adomu. That tells you that blood is red. And here, by the Nida, if she has a sighting that is reddish, then that is dam, that is considered to be menstrual dam, because that's the requirement that she has a sighting of dam in order to be a nida. So they're quoting from the Psukim and Melachim Bet, where Yoshaphat and Achav joined together, the northern kingdom of Israel and the Yehuda have joined together to go to battle, and Edom is actually also a third party that is in their alliance, and they go to fight Moab. They're in the desert, and they are dying of thirst, and Yoshaphat can't believe that they brought all their armies out here to die in thirst. So they get Elisha the Navi to come, and he helps them by davening and bringing rain. The rain other places brings them water, and then that water floods all the wadis, and then the wadis that are going down towards where Moab is waiting for this battle to begin, they think that, oh my goodness, the water is all red. The water is red, it must be that there was some sort of civil war or disagreement in the alliance, and they killed each other. And therefore now we can go to battle against them because they're in a weakened state. And they obviously misread the cues over here because it was red because the water, the rain had just brought down that sediment that was red and got mixed. But you see here that when they, Moab, sees the water that's red, they say it's red like blood. So that tells you that dam adomhu. Now the Gemara says, Ema Adom Betulo. So now let's say that the only color of Dam, that is Tameh, is red Dam. Dam can come in different colors. Yes, it is red in its pure state, but it's not always red. And therefore maybe there are other colors that are not Tamehim because they're not Adom. They're not considered to be red. How come the other colors in our Mishnah are also classified as being Tamehim? So Ravoa Makra, Dameha, Dameha. The Pasuk says Dameha twice, and the word Dameha is in plural. It says in Parshat Kiddushim, Be'ish asher yishkav et isha dava, Be'gila et ervata, et mekora hera, Be'hi gilta et mekor Dameha, Nechru shnehem ikerv amam. So isha dava is an isha nida, and it says there, mekor Dameha, that the blood of the mekor was exposed, and that she is a nida. And the word dameha there is used in the plural. It has a yud in it. It doesn't just mean her blood. It means her bloods in plural. And so that's one case where the word dameha is used. The other place where the word dameha is used is the beginning of Parsha Tazria, where it also says, with regards to tumat leida, that it is similar to the dam nida. And then it says, v'kivod ifnei Hashem, she has to bring her korbanot, v'chiper aleha, Vitara mimkor dameha. And that'll make her tahor from the dam of the mekor. Once again, in plural. So you have dameha in Tazria. You have dameha in Kiddushim. Both associated with an isha dava, with a woman who is a nida. Then if we add that up, there are four different colors of blood that would be problematic. Dameha, dameha. Harikan arvaa. That's four. Problem is, vanan chamishatznat. Our Mishnah gave five colors, so how could it be? If there are four colors, how do you get to five colors? So this again, we noted at the end of yesterday's daf. Amar Reb Chanina, shachor adom hu. Black is really red, ela shalaka, but it rather has gone bad, or something's happened to it. It is an off red. Tatanya Nami Yochi, we have a brighter that says the same thing, which is shachor kecheret. And black has to be deep, like the sediment of ink. Amok miken. If it is deeper, meaning darker black than that, it is tameh. Deha, if it is lighter or a duller black, afilu kekachol, even if it's like blue or stibium, tahor, that is considered to be tahor. So even though it's a dark, dark blue, that's not considered to be something that is tameh, despite the fact that it has a darkness that resembles that of black, because shachor zeh lo mitchilatohu mashchir. It's not blood that is, in its origins, black. Ela kishne'akar humashchir. Once it leaves the body, or is discharged, it becomes black. The truth is that blood is red because of the oxidization of the blood. So then, if the blood loses that oxygen or is depleted of that oxygen. That's true of blood that's returning to the heart. Blood in the arteries is red, but blood in the veins is a bluish color. And same is true, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, when someone is cut, the blood that emanates from the body is red. But after it coagulates or it hardens into a scab, that also has a much darker color because, again, the oxygen has left the blood. Same thing over here, by the Damanida. If it's coming out black, then it's just really red blood that has gone bad, spoiled, quote-unquote. But it's blood that's left the body and is black, not because black is the color, but because it turned from red to black. Mashal, a similar idea is the Dama Maka, is a wound. The Shine Ekar, when it leaves the body, Hu Mashkir, it changes from red to a darker color, a much darker color. And that, again, might be when it's scabbing or when it dries and coagulates. Again, it turns much darker color, a blackish color. Therefore, black is not a separate color. It's an extension of the red, or a derivative of the red blood. Beit Shammai omim, af kemimei tiltan. Also like the waters of fenugreek. Beleidahu Beit Shammai dameha dameha. Wait a minute. We just said that the Gzerat HaKetuv is that there are only four colors. Beit Shammai is now adding a fifth color. We rejected Shachor as being a fifth color because we needed four. But now over here, how do you have a situation where he's adding a fifth color to it? So Mar says, Ibai Tema Leiluhu. Some say Enochanami. They don't have that drasha. They must have some other drasha, which gets them the fact that these are colors. I mean, obviously they have to have some form of a drasha, maybe even including this Pasuk, because otherwise you go back to the original question of the Gemara, how do you know that there's any color of Dam besides Adom? So you need Dameh Dameh, but maybe they have additional Psukim or additional Ribuim that bring in other colors as well. Ibai Tema Itu. Some say they do have the drasha. Mi lo amar Rabbi Chanina shachor adom hu, that black is just a red derivative elo shalaka, but it's gone bad or spoiled. Achanami milkahu deloki. So too, the waters of the fenugreek are a red that has changed. It's a red that's gone bad. So it's not something that's inherently problematic as a color, but that color is indicative of dam that was redder before. And so too, this is a derivative of red, it's not a separate color. Beit Hillel mitarim. Beit Hillel disagrees and says they are tohor. Hainu Tana Kama. The Tana Kama only had five colors, and Shachor was a derivative of Adom. Tana Kama never mentioned this waters of Tiltan and this waters of Basar Tzli. When Beit Hillel says mitaharin, then what is different between them and the Tana Kama? Everybody agrees that it's tohor. Igvanayu litlot. The difference between them is, what is the classification of these damim? According to Beit Hillel, the two damim that Beit Shammai say are tmeim, they say are tohorim the gamre. They're not red. They're not even a safek red. The Tana Kama, on the other hand, doesn't say they're tahor, but also doesn't say they are tmeh. He leaves them as a safek. And so the Tana Kama sees them as a safek. Beit Hillel says them as clearly being tohorim. Now, Gemara says, ayaruk. Again, as we saw in Tosafot, it means yellow, not green. Akavya mehalalel, mitameh. But lately, akavya dameh dameh, same question. Doesn't akavya have the dameh dameh? It says there's a limit of four. Harikan arba. V'ibay dema lately. Some say like Beit Shammai, he doesn't have it. V'ibay dema itler. Some say like the other answer we gave for Beit Shammai, he has it. Milo amar rabbi chanina shachor adom hu elishalaka. Just like we saw by black, it was red that gone bad. Hachanami milkahu deloki. So too, yellow is just a red gone bad. And so it's not a separate color. It's one of the four colors. It's just an indication that this was once red and something's now gone bad with it, and the fact that it is yellow. Chachamim mitarim. Chachamim disagree with the Kavya ben Mehalel, and they say it is tohor. Once again, hainu Tanakama. Kavya brings something that the Tanakama didn't bring. So then obviously the Tanakama argues, and the Chachamim saying tohor means that they're saying the same thing as the Tanakama. Same answer that we gave before. Chamim tahrim means they think they are completely tahor, the color of yellow. Whereas the Tana Kama believes that it might be tamei, and therefore it's a safek. Amar Rabbi Meir, meinu mitamei mishum ketem. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, yarad Rabbi Meir, l'shitat akavya b'mehalalel. V'timei, Rabbi Yochanan says that Rabbi Meir is following the shita of akavya, and that says that it is tamei when it's that color. And this is his response to the Rabbanon. Ketem Yarok. Okay, if you find a yellowish stain, a mana, on a beged, lo matamitu, you don't make it tame. Hecha dekachazia dam yarok, migufa. On the other hand, if she has a sighting of this yellowish blood coming out of her body, titame, she should still be a nida. So now, what he's basically saying is that yellow is dam nida. That's what Rabbi Yochanan just said before, that Rabbi Meir follows Akavya's shita, that yellow is considered to be dam nida. And so when it's exuded by the woman, then it's considered to be dam nida. Now why then, according to Rabbi Meir, when it's found as a stain on a beged, is it not tamei? Is because Rashi explains, mistama lav migufata, delo shkiach. It's unusual for have a discharge like that, and therefore if you find it on a beged, we're not going to be tole in a goof, because there are more likely sources for blood of that color than coming from her body itself. The Bali and Tosafot, on the other hand, say that fundamentally Rabbi Meir agrees with the Chachamim that dam yarok is tahor. He just, midrabbanan, thinks that it is tamei, and the Rabbanan only instituted that tuma when it's a riag mura, not when it is a ketem. Gemara says, that's really an interesting way to explain Rabbi Meir, except it doesn't fit into the words of Rabbi Meir. Says, yachi, meinu mitamei mishum ketem, mitamei mishum mashke? Then, why does the Mishnah say, according to Rabbi Meir, it's not tamei because of ketem? But it is tamei because of mashke. It should have said mishum ro'eh mi bayile. It should say it's not tamei because of ketem, but it is tamei ro'eh in a sighting. That's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah uses the term mashke. Mashke is not a sighting of nida. Mashke has a particular meaning that it is a liquid that many times is edible or drinkable. Elochi kamalu. This is what he says to him. Nihide chedaka chazia dam yarok mi ikara lo matam itu. When she sees dam yarok exiting the woman, then I understand that you don't make her tamei tumat nida, because it's not a blood that is considered to be red, and it doesn't qualify to make the woman tamei. But heichad dechazia dam adom, if she first had a sighting of red blood that made her into a nida, bechader chazia dam yarok, and then she has a sighting of green, yellow blood, titamei, that should be tamei. Like any other liquid that is expelled by a zav and a zava. We know that mashke zav, mashke zava, mashke nida, all those liquids have a din of av hatuma. So all he's saying is, okay, you can't render her a nida from dam yarok. But you can say that after she's rendered a nida from dam adom, that dam yarok that's being exuded by the body, expelled by the body, is mashke nida. And mashke nida has a din of avatuma. So fine, don't make her into a nida, but at least agree that it is something that is an avatuma. Rabbanan disagree and say dumya derok, because the Torah says that the spit, the saliva of a zav and a zava are tmeim, marok shemit agel v'yotzei. Just like saliva first gathers, and then only afterwards is expelled, avko shemit agel v'yotzei. So too, only liquids that gather first and then come out are considered to be mashke zav, mashke zava, or mashke nida. La fuke, that comes to exclude a case, dahai eno mitagel biotse, doesn't gather first and then is expelled. Here, where the blood flows out of the individual, it doesn't gather, doesn't accumulate, and then is expelled. Unlike saliva, which is the classic example, or mucus, which is a similar example. Although what's interesting is that the Gemara thinks that meme raglayim, urine, is a liquid that is mitamei mi'avatuma, and they classify it as mitagel v'yotze, that it gathers and then is expelled. And that makes sense in terms of the bladder. You fill the bladder and then the bladder empties itself out. But if that is considered to be something that's gathered and then expelled as a liquid that flows, then why is blood any different? Uterine blood also gathers in the lining of the uterus and then is expelled afterwards and flows out. So I'm not sure exactly how they differentiate in that nuance, but just know that urine is considered to be mitagel b'yotze, whereas blood is not. So that's why they disagree with Rabbi Meir, even by that. Where it says, Iochi, Shapi Kamreli, Rabbanon, the Rabbi Meir. If that's the case, the Rabbanon's answer is so good that they dismiss Rabbi Meir. How can Rabbi Meir have this position? They basically have a good point. Can't be mashkeh zav. It's not mitkalel gelbi. You say it. Everybody agrees to that. Halachik amarlu. Lavi ki mashkeh lachshir et ezreim. He's saying, okay, it's not tamei tumat nida. It's not even tamei tumat mashkeh nida. Something, a liquid that is expelled by a nida. It's also not mitamei. But just make it into a plain and simple liquid. Liquids have the capacity to be makshir, prime other items, ochel, to become tamei. That's yad, shachat, dam. The seven liquids that are makshir, the kabel tumah, one of them is dam. So at least consider this to be dam, not for nida, but dam as a mashkeh that can be makshir, the kabel tumah. Rabbanan by dam chalalim veleka. You have to have dam that is considered to be dam chalalim in order to be a liquid. Because the Gemara brings, with regards to the seven mashkim that are priming, or that are makshir the kabel tumah, psukim, as evidence that they're classified as a liquid. And one of those is the dam chalalim yishteh. So there it says that they drink the dam chalalim. That means that it's a liquid that is considered like a shtia, like mayim. And that's why it's classified as something that can be makshir the kabel tumah. Rashi over here says dam chalalim yishteh. Dam shanefesh yotzah bo karui mashkeh. Blood that emanates from the body when the soul is leaving the body, that's called a mashkeh. That is a dam chalalim. Rashi and Tosafot in the Gemara and Chulin argue about exactly what dam chalalim is. Tosafot says, on daf lamed hei amud bet in Chulin, and Rashi in Kreitot says something similar. The dam chalalim is dam from a corpse that is already dead. It's already a chalal. Rashi here says it's the dam that the nefesh is yotzaba, but that there, Tosafot argues on that and says dam chalal is from a corpse that's already dead. That's what dam chalalim is. As opposed to dam shvita, which is the dam shanefesh yotzaba. Here Rashi only brings that one interpretation, that's dam shanefesh yotzabo karui mashkeh. Then you only have dam that the nefesh is yotzabo, the dam that is being expelled by the woman, it doesn't have that classification. Once again, the Rabbanan's position is so good, how does Rabbi Meir even have a position in opposition to that? Let us learn it in Gzeir Shava. It says in Shir Hashirim, Shlachayich Pardes Rimonim, your shoots are like a orchard of pomegranates, and the Pasuk is speaking about Damanida, that is, shaluach min haisha. It's the menstrual blood that is sent out of the woman. That is pardes rimonim, like a orchard that is locked up in order to protect it. So too, b'not Yisrael are no'olot pitcheyem v'mei nidutam. They shut themselves down to their husbands during the time period when they are rimonim, when they're expelling reddish colors. They shut down to their husbands. Im primigadim, haynu banim. They don't either have children, or bani means men, and they're not together with the men. And we also have a pasuk tivhatam, sholeach maim al pnei chutzot. It says in Iyov that Hashem causes the waters to go across the fields, or to come on the fields. So you see the word sholeach and shlachayich, so the same verb is used to describe damanida as it is to describe mayim, water. That would get us the parallel between dam and water, and then you would say that just like the water is a makshir the kabel tumah, so too the dam expelled by the woman is considered to be a makshir the kabel tumah. That would be even dam yaruk. Tosafot asks, even from this proof from Shir HaShirim about shlachayich pardes rimonim, how do you know that yellow dam is classified as being dam that should be considered or classified as a mashkeh? All it says is that dam nida has the same din as mayim. But maybe that only means dam nida, that's tmeah, and that means dam that would be qualified as dam nida, not something that is not qualified as dam nida. So how do you learn from this pasuk that dam yarok should have a din of mayim, or should be a mashkeh, that's makshir the kabel tumah? So Tosafot says, well, maybe there's a different source for dam nida, and he brings a alternate source from the Gemara in Shabbat for dam nida being classified as a mashkeh. And therefore this must be something beyond that, or differentiated from that. And then he says that it's clear from this Gemara that dam nida also does not have the din of dam chalalim. So you have three different types of dam that are considered or classified as a mashkeh. Dam chalalim, dam nida, and Now here, according to Rabbi Meir, also the dam yarok that comes out of the pasuk in Shira Shirim, and all three of those are different colors of blood that all have a din of a mashkeh that can be machshir the kabel tuma. Rabbanan, adam dan kavachomer me'atzmo, ben adam dan kazeres shava me'atzmo. You can make a logical argument on your own. What you can't do is create a gzeres shava, because a gzeres shava sits above logic. It can be, despite the lack of logic in the connection between these items, it still renders a ruling. And therefore, gzeres shava is above the world of logic, but that means you can't just exercise gzeres shava on your own. Because if you could do that, then you could override the whole world of logic, and then there would be no structure to how we make drashot. So the only way you can have a gzeres shava is you have a gzeres shava b'misora. If you have it in a tradition that was passed down from Moshe Mitzrayim, and then you can have a gzeres shava. This issue is brought up numerous places in Shas and by the Rishonim, and it's a difficult term because in so many places in Shas, the Gemara darshins gzeres shavot, and then in other places in Shas, the Gemara says we have gzeres shava, we're trying to darshin something from it. So first of all, you have to know that the Gemara many times is coming from a different approach. Sometimes the Gemara knows the limud and is looking for the source, and then it finds the gzeres shava. Sometimes the Gemara knows the gzeres shava, doesn't know what the gzeres shava is teaching, and therefore they're looking for the limud. So that's first of all. Second of all, it's not clear here what that means that you have a mesora about a gzeres shava, because we find machlokot between different parties as to whether there is or isn't a gzeres shava, or what is the gzeres shava. So why is there machloket about these items if it all came b'misora? So you could say that the misorot argue about what the meaning of the gzeres shava is. That leads Rishonim to give different interpretations here to say that it was not clear to the Gemara that there was an exact misora of gzeres shavot. Rabbeinu Tam goes as far as to say that there was a number of gzeres shavot. That was the misora. And that limited number, you have to figure out what all the gzeres shavot out and fit into that limited number. Okay, that's pretty far-fetched, but that's the Rabbeinu Tam's way of dealing with the problem that we do see gzeres shavot all over the place being made, argued on, undone, disagreed about, which doesn't seem to fit this billing that it is a davar that you need b'misora. And other Rishonim simply say that they had misorot about gzeres shavot and they're trying to figure out what the gzeres shavot mean. Or they had misorot about limudim that came from gzeres shava, but they didn't have the exact gzeres shava. All the Rishonim deal with different permutations of how to explain this, but in order to incorporate the Gemara as a whole, where it's not as black and white as what's being said here, that ain't dan dam gzeres shava me'atzmo, you have to come up with different ways of explaining why it is that we have different views within the Gemara with regards to gzeres shavot. So now Rabbi Yossi Omer, lo kach velo kach. Rabbi Yossi says, neither. Gemara says once again, Ainu Tana Kama. Rabbi Yossi is the Tana Kama. He's saying, not Tumat Nida or Tumat Ketem, not Tumat Mashke. So how is he different than the Tana Kama, who didn't bring either of these down? We had the Chachamim, who are Mitaher, which we said was also like the Tana Kama. And then we have Rabbi Meir now, who says that, Ainu Itam Mishum Ketem, Ela Mishum Mashke. And again, Rabbi Yossi says, lo kach v'lo kach, which goes back to like the Chachamim and like the Tana Kama. So then, what is Rabbi Yossi adding over here? And you can't say he's coming to differentiate between Tahor Legamri and Litlot, because that was already in the Machloka between Kavya and the Chachamim, as to whether Yarok is considered to be something that's Tameh or something that's Tahor. So either Rabbi Yossi is following the position of the Chachamim and it's Tahor Legamri, or he's following the position of a Tana Kama, that it is, he leaves them as a Safek Tameh. So then what is he differentiated or what is he said that we don't know already? The Gemara says that Rabbi Yossi, Hainu Tana Kama, Kamash Malan, Man Tana Kama. It's identifying for us the Tana Kama as being Rabbi Yossi and V'chol Omer, Davar B'Shem Omro, maybe Gula Le'olam. And why we expose the Tana Kama over here is because when you say something over in the name of the individual said it, you bring a Gula Le'olam. Therefore we want to identify the Tana Kama over here as being Rabbi Yossi. What about the rest of Shas, when the Tana Kama is not identified, and we don't get any information about it? Didn't they want to be maybe Gula Le'olam? So there is a general file that Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, and that the absence of a name in the Tana Kama, it most likely indicates that it is Rabbi Meir, unless we have indications otherwise. And the reason that Rabbi Meir might not be identified is based on the Gemara in Chagiga, whereby we learn that Rabbi Meir learned a lot of his Torah from Acher, Elisha ben Abuya, who went off the derech and then was known as Acher. And because his Torah came from Elisha ben Abuya, when we quote the Torah of Rabbi Meir, we quote it anonymously, because it is coming from a source or a place of Tuma. And even though Rabbi Meir says about himself, I'm able to eat it and spit out the bad stuff, I'm able to learn from Acher and avoid the things that were heresy and avoid the problems, nevertheless, it was not looked on so favorably, and therefore his name, in a sense, is eliminated from the Mishnah by making him the Stam Mishnah, Tanakama, is Rabbi Meir. So that would explain the reasoning behind the anonymity of the Tanakama in other places. Or you could say, once you know that Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, it's no longer hidden that the Tanakama is Rabbi Meir. We know that information, unless proven otherwise, like in this case, that it's Rabbi Yossi, so you won't mistakenly come to the conclusion that it is Rabbi Meir. Ezu Adom. What is considered to be red? Kedama Makah. Like a wound. My Kedama Makah. What does that mean? I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Shmuel, Kedam Shor Shachut. It's like an animal that is shechted. Rashi says he picked a shor in particular because its blood is more red than other bloods. Although the other Rishonim, like the Ritva, say that it's any shechita. Just happens to be they picked shor. Velema Kedam Shechita. Then just say that it's Dam Shechita. Why would you say Dam Makah or Shor Shachut? Iyamar Kedam Shechita. Had you just said Dam Shechita, Hava Mino Kekula Shechita. During the entire process of Shechita, as we noted already in the Gemarot, if you shecht an animal, the color of the blood changes over the period of time of the Shechita. So if you just said Shechita, we'd have no idea which one of those colors you were referencing to. K'mashalam, k'dama makah, that's why the Mishnah says dama makah, k'tchilat hakah shel sakin. It's like the beginning of when the knife touches or goes into Shechita. So then we're interpreting dama makah to really mean dam Shechita. But it's Shechita at the moment of the Makah, the moment that the wound is made, the first blood that is drawn in the Shechita, that's the Dam that we're speaking about. Ula Amar Kedam Tzipor Chaya. It is like a Tzipor that is alive, a bird that is alive. Ibailo Chaya Lafuke Shachut. Does that mean that it's blood from a wounded bird that is alive as opposed to a bird that is shechted? Odom Lafuke Kachush. Or does Chaya mean robust and healthy as opposed to a weak bird? And then it means the dam of the bird, irrespective of whether it's alive or dead, it just means dam from a healthy bird, not from an unhealthy bird. Teku, that we don't know. We're unclear about which one he meant. Ziri Amar Rabbi Chanina kedam ma'acholet shorosh. It's like a hair louse, a head louse. That's the color of dam when you smush or crush a head louse. That's the red that you're looking for. Meteme harga ma'acholet. If she kills a louse, Arizet Tolaba, she can say that the reason I have a stain on my beged is because I killed a louse. And therefore it's not a ketem. It is blood of a louse, not the blood of Nida. That shows you that, first of all, they are interchangeable in terms of their color. But it's also a problem for Ziri, who said that only the louse of the head. Over here it sounds to me like any louse that she crushes. My lab de kule gufa. Her whole body, any louse that she kills, no, derosha. It's only a head louse. They are either healthier, more robust, or a lot of times that's where the lice draw their blood for the eggs, and therefore they are, quote unquote, bloodier because they have the human blood that they're taking from the head. And even though, as Rashi points out, that the minimum size of a ketem to be tamei is kagris, which is larger than a louse, then why should we ever have to be toled in a louse? Because the louse would never get to the size where it would be a ketem. So Rashi says that that's a machloka later on in the Masechta as to whether kagris vod is a necessary threshold in order to be a ketem. And there are those that believe that even smaller sizes could be problematic. And this louse being tole it as the ketem is for those opinions who think that you don't need that minimum share of a kagris vod. Ami vardina. Ami, either Rashi brings one interpretation, the rose man, which means that he was beautiful like a rose, na'eh keveret. And Rashi brings that there was an Ami, Shapir na'eh. There was this Ami that was known as the good-looking Ami. So this might be another way of saying that. Or vardina is the name of a place. It's Ami from the place called Vardina. Amar Rabbi Abahu, Kedam Etzpa Ketana Shel Yad, it's like the blood from the pinky, Shenakfa, that was injured, V'chaita, and then healed, V'chazra V'nikfa, and then it was injured again. So it was an injury on top of an injury, that's the red you're looking for. V'lo Shel Kol Adam, it's not that type of injury on any individual, Ela Shel Bachur Shelo Nasa Isha. It's only a young man who has yet to be married. Vad Kamo, until how old that is true, is he considered to be a young man? Adesrim, until he's 20. So it's from a young man or a young child that is until the age of 20, as long as he's not married, that dam that exits the pinky, if it was injured and then injured again, that's the color of blood. Meitve, is that really true? Tole bibna ubibala. She can't say that the stain that she has here came from her husband, came from her son. If her husband or son have an injury, then we could say that the dam came from the fact that they were sleeping next to her, and their blood from their wound got on her beged, and that's why she has the red. It's not a ketem of nida. Bishlama bibna, with her son, mishkachala. That makes sense, because he isn't married. If he isn't married, then that could be the color of dam that we're looking for that's similar to the color of dam nida. But, ela bala, hecha mishkachala. You just told us that it's only true of an individual who is not married and who is young. Well, her husband might be young, but he's clearly married because he's her husband. So if that's the case, how could his dam be mistaken for dam nida? So Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak goes, "Shenichnasa l'chupa v'lo nivala." The case where they were married, but there was no consummation of the marriage through bi'ah, and therefore he's still not a boel. He might be nasa, he might be married, but he's not boel, and so he's her husband. But his dam still has that reddish side to it. Nachman Amar Kedam Hakaza is like the blood of bloodletting when they do bloodletting. Meitavei Masev Itala Rabbi Meir Bikilor. It was a case, and Rabbi Meir said that the red of the colorium, which is like a reddish eye salve, and he said that a red that was that color, he said, that was the eye salve and not dam nida, because it resembled the color of the eye salve. Rabbi Talab Sraf Shikma. Rabbi said that it came from the sap of the sycamore. So you have a color that's like the sap of the sycamore. We'll say that it came from the sap of the sycamore, not from her being a nida. The problem with all of these is, my love Adom. So it sounds like that they said that these colors are considered to be the color of red. We just had all these other Amoraim telling us what red is. Now you have Rabbi and Rabbi Meir paskening on a red color, saying that that's the red of dam. So it sounds like they're defining what red blood is. If that's the case, then all the other opinions are wrong, because this red is different than their reds are different than anybody else's reds that were there before. When it says lo ashar damim, they weren't necessarily saying that that's the color of red. They were saying that maybe it's one of the other colors we mentioned in the Mishnah that is not pure red. And that color of the eye salve or the sap of the sycamore matches up with one of those alternate colors. It might be dam nida, just not defining what red dam nida is. Amemar Marzutra Ravashi of Yatve Kamne Umna. The three Amoraim over here were sitting in front of the craftsman. The craftsman over here means a blood letter. He was known as an Uman. Shaklile Karna Kamaita Lamemar. He drew the first horn of blood from Amemar. The Karna is the horn that is behind the needle or the razor that they cut in with to let the blood out, and it gathers the blood. Chazya, when he saw it, Amalo Adom Ditznan Kihai. The Mishnah that says that dam nida is adom like dam makah, this is the reddish that you see here, that blood that's being drawn. Shakla de achrite, they drew a second horn of blood from him, or more blood. Amalo ishtane, that's already a different color. That first blood had the red tint, that is the red is mentioned in the Mishnah, that's dam nida and that's adom. This, what you're seeing now, is no longer classified as dam adom. Amar Ravashi could go in ana, telo yadana ben hai lahai. Ravashi says about himself, I couldn't tell the difference between the first blood that is let and the second blood is let. He was there. And Amemar is pointing it out to him, and he can't differentiate between them. Either he's colorblind, or the tint is just too hard for him to discern. You need to have an eye for it, and he didn't have an eye for it. I should not be seeing marodam of women to determine whether they're nidot or not. So he basically recuses himself from dealing with this halachic issue, because he says, I'm not qualified to deal with it. Meimar is telling me, this is the red of the Mishnah. This isn't, and I can't even tell the difference between the two reds. So it's clearly, I'm not qualified to do it. All right, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Chof Amud Aleph.